This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is D'Lo and KC okay. On ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Ricardo's got an amazing idea. Royale should come back as a villain, like an evil mascot.
I like that.
Oh, that'd be so dope. That'd be so dope. He comes out of a casket like the Undertaker used to, turns his head real quick, but now he's like darker. He's got like a masks on or something. Oh, that'd be so fire. That'd be so fire.
So I want to ask you, do you think that was the plan the entire time?
No.
You don't think it was?
No.
God, do you think that was the plan?
No, it definitely wasn't.
No, I think they pivoted because everybody, like, they saw the reaction to it. They saw De'Aaron's reaction to
That's
it.
That's it, they specifically.
Saw when De'Aaron's clip, Sean Cunningham, who was like the king of, like, you, Kyle Madsen and Sean Cunningham are the king of viral moments.
Yeah.
And Sean's clip gets picked up by all of the, you know, the sites, and everyone's comments are, wait a minute, what is that? And I think that's when the Kings were like, you know what? Let's just have Slamson box him up and get rid of him.
It wasn't that intricate of a scenario. So I don't want to make it like, how could they come up with that in 2 days? But that is pretty quick to come up with that.
I do not think.
Dude, I think that was the plan. The
I don't think.
No
so.
No chance.
I do not believe that.
No zero chance, dog.
Do you think we can get a real answer from somebody?
Yeah. Like on the air?
Yeah.
No.
Like they no, they don't have to be on the air.
Oh no, yeah.
If you text somebody.
Who?
I don't know.
Oh.
Just anybody. Just text somebody.
I'm just saying, do you think somebody would really tell, like, if what you guys are saying was right, maybe some of the people we know would be like, yeah, you're right.
This yeah, there's a couple
yeah, off
people
the record
they'll
tell you for sure.
Yeah.
And there's new you say like they had 2 days to come up with that. Okay, they get however many people, six people in a boardroom. And they go, hey, what do we do about this?
I do love the idea of people are meeting in a boardroom to kill off a mascot.
Yeah,
I do love that
maybe
idea.
Maybe it's an email. Maybe they're on Zoom.
Like a long table between everybody. All right, guys, we've gotten ourselves into this predicament. How do we kill this jackass off?
Yeah.
What do we do?
Get in the writer's room. Make
I don't
a play.
Know. I don't know. Throw them in a box and have Slamson
I just don't think
put
it
the
takes,
uniform on.
I don't think it takes that long to come up with that idea. And then that video takes a couple hours to shoot and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
I think it had such negative feedback and they were so worried about the negative feedback that they punted it. That's 100% what happened. I will not be gaslit.
I'm going to zag. I think it was all part of the plan.
Okay.
Like what other team has two mascots? Like they were never going to have two.
What's the point then?
But I don't think they were having two.
If he was
going to
stick around, they would have two.
I don't think he was going to stick around.
Yeah, that's my whole point. They were going to get rid of him.
Well, I don't think they were going to kill him off 2 days later.
I think they were.
That's some Vince McMahon stuff. Like, I got an idea. Let's imagine the gobbledygooker comes out and they kill him 2 days later. They kept the gobbledygooker around forever.
The what?
I also
look it up. Well, I will
not. Not
maybe
on a
don't.
Work computer.
Maybe don't.
Absolutely
maybe don't.
Not. Maybe that's don't. Crazy.
Maybe don't.
I also think they knew that that was going to be a fail. Like they couldn't. They weren't going to look at that and be like, "This is going to be great. People are going to love
then,
it."
Then why did they do it, Kenny?
For this whole thing, for attention.
I do
no
not.
Chance.
They killed off a mascot.
Well, they didn't kill him. They just shipped him off.
Well,
you went, oh, it's a joke the whole time. Was, we got
they gave
you.
Gave him an air hole. One. There was he a, could breathe.
That was a strong implication of they buried him alive. Like, this was perfect. Yo, I don't know that. Like, who's the first face you see in the commercial? It's Fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh is a huge wrestling fan. Fresh might have booked this whole thing from beginning to end.
In the boardroom by himself.
How do we kill off a mascot with actually? Okay, I could see Fresh running down the ideas of things he can't do. We can't set him on fire. We can't throw him off. Him. We can't throw him off Hell in a Cell. Oh, what could we? How? Oh. Okay, we can't put him in a casket. But what if we just put him in a box?
What if he box. Was like, no, put him in a casket? And they're like, whoa, whoa, Scott, chill, Scott. Chill, chill. All right. Box.
Put him in a box.
Okay.
But when he comes back, he's in a casket, and now he's like a darker orange, like, and he's like,
why's he
got to
be darker?
I see.
That's
darkness is associated with evil, Kyle. He's got a black uniform on that says like Cincinnati or something.
It's just the other team's logo for that night.
And he just gets beat up. I thought them. I think he needs to be incorporated because Kyle, you may know this. You might know too, Damien. Familiar with the what was his name? The Krusty Krab, Crazy Krab, Crazy Krab. I think it was
the Crazy
with
Krab.
The Giants.
Yeah,
and he was like almost a spoof on mascots, and the fans hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Hated him. They ended up getting rid of him. They didn't bring him back.
Did they throw him in some boiling water?
No. Glad they didn't.
Put him in a box in some boiling water.
He came in there. They would come out and like, hey, it's the Crazy Crab. They boo him. They throw things at him and all this other stuff. That's what Royale could be. He could be a part of the Lexion of just get Kings riled up. Get Kings fans riled up.
Lexion.
Okay.
Is Lexion a word?
Oh, yeah, it is for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard people talk about it.
I'm going to believe that.
A number of different times.
Okay.
The Lexion.
All right, well, RIP to Royale.
So long, Royale.
Hell, if maybe
Lexicon?
Maybe they boxed him up and got rid of him because they were fearful Mike Brown was going to try to start him.
Well...
I'm just asking.
I mean, I'm saying, how many shots you want to take at Mike Brown today?
This is where Mike really frustrates me. Like, what was Alex Lynn doing starting? It's not a shot at Alex Lynn, but you started him against the Minnesota said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it is. I'm just a stupid fan who watches and talks basketball. That's it. Mm. I don't know what Mike knows, but I feel like we have a large sample size of Mike overthinking things like this. Mm. Oh, matchups, and we got to do this. I'm going to start Alex Lynn. Bro, for what? He's like your 10th best player. What are you doing? Because I'm going to start Alex Lynn because he's tall. Oh, I got a great idea. Well, we're missing DeMar. We're missing Domon. I'm going to start because it worked great the last time I did it. Mm. Doug McDermott. Give me some Doug McDermott minutes. He's shooting like 7%.
Oh, man. He finally made one on Saturday. One.
That's all he ever does is he makes one. I love Mike Brown. Sure feels like I don't this year, given how many times I've had to say things like this. I feel like I don't know what Keon Ellis did to him. I don't know. Maybe Keon's the new Kevin? I don't know. Maybe Mike is contractually obligated to hate someone on this team. And now that Kevin's making shots, he doesn't hate him anymore. He hates Keon Ellis. I do not understand why it is such a roller coaster every time someone is out with the Sacramento Kings, who's going to start? Mm. And now you've got multiple guys out, and it's this crazy roller coaster that you're afraid is going to make break down at the big loop and we're all just going to fall to the ground?
I'm interested to see what happens tonight, because
he can't do that again, right? You can't start Doug McDermott again.
Oh, I think he will. I think he will.
And who was it yesterday? It was Trey and Doug, right?
Trey and Doug, yeah. And I look at that not really as much of an issue as Keon Ellis, after the turnover to Orlando Robinson in the second half, didn't come back in the game at all. And, you know, we had McLaughlin coming in. We had Isaac Jones coming in. We had Mason Jones coming in. All these guys coming in, except Keon Ellis. And I didn't understand that. I didn't understand that at all. I don't know. Because Keon had a – I think when he made the turnover to Orlando Robinson, that was the second time something like that had happened. And I don't know if Mike was just done at that point. Not to mention, on Friday, Keon passed up a pretty wide-open three in overtime that just can't be passed up.
That's a sin.
Just can't be passed up. Can't do that. So that wouldn't be enough for me to not play him or something like that, but I'm interested to see what the minutes look like tonight. I'm interested to see it. I don't think he's going to get a DMP. I don't think it'll be that. But, I mean, he needs to be, off the top of my head, he probably needs to be one of those guys closing the game out.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
And he didn't even, trying to see exactly.
Was it 10 minutes on Saturday?
Let's see.
Where's Keon? 10 minutes and 23 seconds in the Jazz game.
3 minutes in the second half. 3 minutes. And when he came out, That was it. Then the play that happened was, you know, it was one of those things kind of in medium transition when it was Orlando Robinson's fault. I thought, at least, you know, he wasn't looking for the ball. That's something that, and that's not a knock on him. Like, he just got called up that morning. So he
overall,
made up.
I thought he played well, by
I
the
thought
way.
He played really well. Yeah. He did a really good job. And in that particular play, I thought, you know, that was, If there's fault to be had there, it was on him. But I, like I said, I don't even want to blame him because he's still getting used to the system and everything that's going on. It was just a miscommunication. Mike took that maybe as Keon should have known better or something. I don't know. Took him out and he didn't see the floor again.
It's not the point. But you brought up Orlando Robinson. I thought he played well. I mean, he was throwing and Isaac Jones too. Like they were thrown in positions to where. All right, guys, welcome to – going to need you to get out there. Welcome to Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
Going to need you to get out there and play some minutes with these guys down. And, I mean, they didn't play 2-3 minutes. They played like 10, 11, 12. And I thought both of them did – I mean, I actually thought they did really well in their time on the floor.
I really liked what I saw at Orlando Robinson. Want to see more from him as far as, like, more opportunities. But I liked his game. I liked his shooting touch. Being active on the boards, he has he's looking to pass a lot of the time. Some of them didn't make him all the way through or anything, but he's looking to pass the rock and seems to have a good court vision out there. So I want to see more from him. Obviously, we will tonight, but even moving forward, maybe I don't know. Maybe he gets into that rotation. Maybe, and I don't think this guy has played bad at all, but maybe he takes Alex Lynn's minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, he could. Yeah, I don't think he's played bad. He just shouldn't be asked to start.
Oh, that's a whole nother situation.
Oh, Orlando Robinson will start tonight. Why not?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe Isaac Jones starts. Birth of a superstar.
I can't get the image out of my head of the Kings having this group meeting in this boardroom. They're like, hey, what do we do about the mascot? And Mike Brown, who nobody even knew was there, goes, I could start him tonight. Like, Mike, what are you doing? Get out.
No, kill the mascot. Kill the mascot before Mike attempts to start him.
Get him out of here. Get him out of here. Oh, and Kyle, you were right. I guess it was Lexicon. I feel like I've heard Lexion before, but guess I was wrong there.
Lexion?
Yeah, I thought I'd heard that before. a few times, man.
Boy, words are beating your ass.
They really are, man.
Between Lexion and
what's the other one?
Epsom. Epsom salt.
Oh man, hasn't been the best day for the vocab today, but
it's all right.
I'll be better tomorrow.
Well, we'll see. Let's not make promises we can't keep.
Mess up another word, Mike Brown might start you.
Hey, well, there you go. Hell, you don't even have to mess up the word. Mike be like, hey, you got any minutes in you, pal? Let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready,
get
coach.
Out there.
Put me in.
Let's get out there. That was certainly a topic of discussion, a brief topic of discussion, given so much of it on Friday night centered around De'Aaron Fox. It was a rough night from Kevin Huerter. It was a bit of an inefficient night from Keegan Murray.
Well, that's being nice. That was not acceptable, Keegan Murray. On Saturday?
No, on Friday.
Oh, on Friday.
On Friday.
Okay.
On Friday. But we can skip to Saturday. And then, of course, Alex Lynn started, and we all know how that went. With all due respect to Alex Lynn, he shouldn't be in the starting position. Trey Lyles played 41 minutes in that one. Again, he was inefficient. The problem, you had to get 60 from Fox because you couldn't get anything anywhere else.
Yeah.
But there was a lengthy text exchange about Keegan Murray's performance on Saturday.
And it was unacceptable in that situation. Keegan Murray on Saturday night goes 2 of 6, 39 minutes, 2 of 6, 1 of 4, 5.6 rebounds. Keegan Murray has had a really good season so far this year. I've had no issues with how he's played. I think he's been good. That can't happen. When you have Domantas Sabonis out, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, you're out there playing with the Isaac Joneses and the Mason Joneses of the world. I'm not even looking at your point total. I'm looking at the 6 shot attempts. That can't happen from Keegan Murray. I know he's being asked to do a lot and all this other stuff. He's in that situation, he's asked to shoot the ball at least 15 to 18 times. You got to do that too. Just shoot it.
Why do you think that this two things. I don't think Keegan Murray played poorly on Saturday.
Mm.
I don't think Keegan Murray was good enough offensively on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm breaking his game apart here a little bit into two categories, which isn't fair to the conversation. But this happens with Keegan sometimes. And I did wonder if we were past it. Given the fact we've seen him shoot, we saw him shoot 15 times on Saturday. Not super efficient, but I think we'll all take, shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they dropped versus Phoenix, and that changes the game.
Right.
You're capable. Keep taking those shots. But it feels like these 6-shot, 5-shot, low offensive output performance, I feel like this happens from time to time with Keegan, and it's kind of a carryover from last year. That we talked a lot to start this show about mindset from De'Aaron. I don't know if it's a Keegan Murray mindset. I don't know what it is. I don't think there's a defender on the Utah Jazz that held him to 6 shots. This is strictly a level of offensive aggression from Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not there at all on Saturday night.
Yeah, man. And once again, I think Keegan has had a really good start to the season. I think he's been really good, even despite the poor 3-point shooting. I thought he's done a lot of really good things out there. Saturday, his lack of aggression really hurt that team, the Kings team. Maybe the game would have been just as close if he would have shot 18 to 20 times. I don't know, but I like to see, and you're in this same situation again tonight. I believe that if Keegan Murray's shooting 6 times again tonight, they're probably going to lose. Get him up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Get him up. They need his offense. They need his aggressiveness. And, in a game that's shorthanded, obviously, you got 1 foot looking at a little mini break here. Go out shooting the ball. That's all I'm asking from Keegan tonight. I know you're going to defend too. You're going to boards. You're doing a great job with that. I need you to shoot tonight with them so shorthanded again.
Yep. Can't do that.
Cannot do that. And he's the one, like, I think he's the number one guy everyone will look at tonight. If you can get, and this is the tough part, like, can you get, Kevin and Trey were great on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You factor in Keegan to that, De'Aaron doesn't need to score 49, and the Kings are probably coasting to a degree to a victory.
I would think.
But it feels like, and shout out Jordan McLaughlin. Jordan McLaughlin hit a huge shot in that game as well. Looked completely. I think Jordan McLaughlin was in the closing lineup.
He was. He was. That corner three.
Yeah, that's the one.
Won the game.
Yeah, that was the one. But you've got to you question whether you can have a really an all around output, an all around team effort from an all around offensive performance from three guys, mm-hmm. because two wasn't enough. De'Aaron had to do his thing. Can you get three and maybe that pulls De'Aaron back a little bit? Crazy thing about what happened Saturday, though, De'Aaron scored 49 in 35 minutes. Mm. It's not like he had to play 45 mm-hmm. to, you know, they couldn't take him off the floor. Everything fell apart.
Yeah.
Like 35 minutes. We've already seen him play more than that.
Yeah, a couple times I wish he would have played like 39.
Well,
I was like, yo, why is he on the bench? Why?
Well, got to get those Doug McDermott minutes.
and then shout out to
Mason
shout out to
Jones minutes. Salute to Mason Jones.
Shout out to my boy Kevin Herter, because Fox was out, and I don't know if Keegan was on there on the floor or not, but Fox was out. The team was the Jazz lead was getting to like 7 or something like that. Kevin said, I got this. Just kept shooting. He said, I got this, guys. Get on my back.
Let it rain.
He started putting them up. And I was like, look, man, somebody got to put them up. Somebody got to.
I think he missed 3 in a row, though, didn't he?
I think so.
I know he missed at least 2. I'm almost certain there's a third one in there, but I know exactly. All right, Kev, and they were all good. They were all great shots. Yeah. Like they were. I mean, he had one. You know, one of those hit 10 parts of the rim and pops out.
Yeah, and then
they were all good looks.
And then I can't even really be mad at him, because I think he was like on the floor with like the Jones brothers and Orlando Robinson, and maybe Trey was out there. Maybe that's who it was. But it was like, yeah, where else are you going to go for a bucket but Kevin Herter? Kevin said, I got this. He looked at Monk and Fox and said, calm down.
Got it. I got it. I'm effing nice. I just looked at this. Hold on. 2, 4, 6. Okay. I don't know how I didn't notice this before. Kevin is the only starter besides De'Aaron to take free throws.
What?
And he took 2 of them. He was 1 of 2, and there were only 6 free throws taken by the Sacramento Kings in total once you take out De'Aaron Fox.
Wow.
He shot 19 of the 25 free throws.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's amazing. Doug McDermott wasn't drawing fouls.
And I saw Doug McDermott's shirt short earlier. He had 2 3-pointers.
He did.
I'm happy to see it. Look, I understand the gravity aspect of Doug McDermott, because every time he shoots it, I feel like it's going in. But
you do?
I do,
salute.
Man. I do. Salute. I still believe in him, man. But it has. He's going to have to make a shot at some point, man. You got to make some shots.
The man was just enjoying life like 2 weeks. Doug, okay. What do you think Doug McDermott's shooting percentage is?
Field goals or threes? They're probably the
it
same.
It doesn't matter, dude. It does not matter.
I'm going to say 25%.
Pretty close. 29.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
He's doing better than
Well, truthfully, I thought it was I thought it was 10, but it's fine. He's shooting 29.7 from the field and 29.0 from three. The man is a career 40% shooter.
Come on, man. He got to turn it around, because he's getting good looks. I'm not going to say he don't shoot 40%, but He's going to shoot better.
I will say this again. The man was at home 2 months ago.
He was.
Does the shooting ever leave you?
No, not those shots. He's getting wide open looks. He's Doug McDermott. He's a bucket. He's a bucket. His nickname is literally Doug McBuckets.
Dougie McBuckets.
He's a bucket, and all he's got to do is catch and shoot on wide open three. He's gonna start hitting some. Look, I'm gonna say it right now.
Oh, ain't this? Wait a second. Okay. All right, man.
Look here. Will Z clip this. From November 18th to December 1st, Doug McDermott is going to shoot 43% from three from this point on.
Give me Prize Picks. Less. Less. He shot 32% from three with the Pacers last year. Mm. This man from the field has never shot less than 40%.
Come on, man.
From the field.
He's a bucket.
He's shooting 29.7% from the field right now.
This is training camp and exhibition season.
Oh, so that loss ain't count?
No, I wouldn't. I'm just saying for him.
Oh. All right. I couldn't use Prize Picks in Vegas.
I was like, yo.
I tried to set my lineup. I tried when Domas, I was going to take every De'Aaron Moore they would let me after I saw the Domas stuff. And I set my lineup. I should have screenshotted it because your boy would have gotten paid.
Mm.
And yeah, sorry, pal. Not available in your area.
Well, they got other things.
I was like, all right. I had to laugh. I text my man Casey. I was like, man, they won't let me set a lineup in Vegas. This is crazy.
Hey, but look, check it out though. Prize Picks, Beam Money coming down, you know, tonight.
Okay.
Your boy, quiet as kept. I need to be quiet because I don't want nothing crazy happening. Mm-hmm. I haven't lost since November 8th.
Mm,
okay. It's November 18th.
I like it.
Your boy hasn't lost since November 8th. I've got Beam Money being posted later on today. Okay. But if you want to join in, use that promo code KIFM for your opportunity to win $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM. When that Beam Money gets posted, I'm telling you, you're going to want to get up in there.
We'll come back. Oh, man. Wow.
What?
Wow. Wait, what? You can't.
What?
I'm going to need you to head over to HR. We'll come back. Actually, this would be a perfect time for you
take
to
take a lap.
There you go. Thank you, Jesse Mattson. We probably should address some other sports news. So
I got to go to HR. Sorry.
So, well, that's actually accurate. Stilo and Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Hey, shout out to Netflix, by the way. Netflix, they've been in business with the NFL for like 2 seconds. And they already recognize how to spin a story. I talk about this on Corners of the Culture later on 102.5 KSFM. But Netflix was getting their ass kicked this weekend.
I heard.
Because the stream for the Tyson-Jake Paul fight didn't necessarily go great. I don't think... We had a few issues at first.
I never saw issues.
Yeah, I had a few issues getting our stream up at first, but eventually we got it. We propped it up on a wire fence and watched a fight on a phone. But the overall reaction on social media was, this is a disaster. Netflix is not ready for this. And in a span of about 36 hours, they announced with great fanfare that the WWE is on the way. Of course, everybody knew that. Mm-hmm. They announced the venue that January 6th episode is at, the Intuit Dome. Mm-hmm. So they got a lot of the WWE, the Intuit Dome, the biggest entertainment company, the newest, biggest arena, and Netflix. And this was all about 16 hours after, out of nowhere, it's announced Beyonce is performing on Christmas at the Texans-Ravens game that is streamed exclusively on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about the death of Royale and how quickly that came together. I guarantee you this deal from Netflix came together even quicker. Hey, we got a PR problem. Really? Call Beyonce. She'll fix it. And out of nowhere, Beyonce is performing on Christmas in Houston for what I can only imagine is an ungodly sum of money from Netflix.
Man, what they need to take some of that money and make sure the stream works.
You might want to increase their bandwidth a little bit.
Make sure that's all good, because nothing will upset people more. Nothing will get them angrier than trying to watch Beyonce and they see the little circle, the buffering circle going on. So make sure that's good before you do anything else, before you pay any other money, Netflix.
But in the meantime, guys, Beyonce's coming to Netflix. Yay, Netflix.
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, we gave you Mike Tyson's bare ass on Saturday night. Was that not enough? Or Friday night?
Did you see they did 60 million households?
Wow. I didn't know
that
the number.
That is a crazy amount of people. 60 million households. And obviously, you talk about households, that isn't people, right? You could almost double that, just assuming, right? Like somebody at least watched it with one other person, or even if somebody who watched it by themselves, there was 10 people at a house watching it. So I mean, there was probably 120, 150 million people watched that thing.
There might have been.
It was everywhere downtown.
We couldn't escape it. Yeah,
I wasn't even prepared for that. It was all over the place downtown.
It was at Polanco. It was at Tom's. It was on every screen that you could see outside of the Golden One Center. It was on phones. Everywhere we walked around the rail yards for Anderson .Paak, people were talking about it. They were looking at it. They were trying to stream it on their phone. It's amazing. All of these years later, a Tyson fight still has that.
And I know Jake Paul, you know, does numbers and all this other stuff. I think that one on Friday was attributed to Mike, like you just mentioned. Like, people are still riled up by the thought of Mike Tyson knocking somebody out. Very irrationally, but they are. Like, the people that thought it was fixed, what are we talking about? The guy was like I said, 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why he couldn't follow up on certain punches is because he's 58 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
it actually went better than I thought he went. I thought he would get knocked down, knocked out a couple of times. He made it through.
Well, I thought that too until I saw Jake Paul. And we were watching, like, why does Jake Paul look exhausted 50 seconds into this fight? Then I started to wonder.
He had the Hulk Hogan sweat.
Right. Then I started to wonder, is Mike going to knock his ass out? Like, because he was, he's... Jake's like looking at Mike like just like breathing heavy and his arms up. I was like, if Mike just connects one, he could get him. And I kind of waited for that one punch that never came up.
Yeah, it was never gonna happen. Like I said, I'm surprised Jake didn't do more damage. I'm glad he didn't do more damage. And they made a lot of money, came out of it with all his faculties. Let's just leave it at that, Mike. Let's just leave it at that. We don't have to do more than that. You made $20-some million probably from that fight.
Yeah, all indications are he made $20 million. I hated it. I didn't want to see it. But I'm not going to pretend like I didn't see the end of Mike's career either.
Mm-hmm.
Like in my mind, Jake Paul, is it Kevin McBride? Mm-hmm. Whoever, Lennox Lewis, he'll always be invincible to me. He'll always be Trevor Burbick. He'll always be Michael Spinks. He'll always be all of that. I'll always remember the Buster Douglas fight. Like, I can, that's one of those things that the memory of that is so, so vivid. It's actually one of my favorite memories with my grandpa ever, is he loved Mike Tyson. And I'm pretty sure it's the only black person my grandpa loved. And man, he sat there after Mike got knocked out. And that broadcast went off the air, and he did not. I remember looking back at him when Mike didn't get up, and he doesn't respond, and he's just sitting in his chair, and he's looking at the TV, and 10 minutes later, son of a bitch. And he gets up and leaves. And he just goes back. Like, that was it. Look, y'all, our guy just lost. That was it.
Mike was I couldn't believe that he lost. Mike was an unbelievable spectacle, you know, in his heyday. Looking back on it as an adult, there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors with the whole Mike Tyson thing. There was always the people he were knocking out were some bums. They were
early?
Some bums. Definitely early, even a little later. Like, he had guys
like
that,
Michael Spinks wasn't a bum,
but there was an aura to Mike at that point that just terrified
him.
Michael Spinks was probably his best win.
And Michael Spinks was scared to death.
He's scared to death.
You watch that fight back now, you see it in Michael Spinks' eyes. He's scared
absolutely
to death.
Scared to death. But Michael Spinks was probably his best fight. But and he was a Hall of Famer too, but the true Hall of Famers, they just looked at him like, oh, this is how you beat him. You just hang around, like get past the initial, you know, monsoon of Mike Tyson, and then I'm gonna piece you up. Evander Holyfield wasn't afraid of him at all.
Well, Evander Holyfield
beat his ass.
Yeah, he did. Like Evander Holyfield,
I hated to see that too.
Yeah, I remember our guy Io, his mom in tears when Holyfield got Mike.
Oh,
like
my uncle Kevin too. He told me before the fight, he said Evander Holyfield about to piece him up. I said, you don't know what you're talking about, uncle. You don't know what you're talking about. Mike about to knock him out. And man, as I'm watching the fight and I'm seeing Evander just beat him up, I said, damn. But the whole point, me saying that, the whole point is he still has that, even through everything that we've seen post Buster Douglas. People still watch a Mike Tyson fight and expect and believe that we'll see the Tyson that fought Spinks. It don't matter. We don't want him to. He could do this again.
Yeah, please don't, Mike.
He could do this again, and he would do numbers, and people would be like, Mike about to knock him out.
I really thought he was going to. Well, I did. We were talking about it, right?
Jake looked exhausted.
Yeah, we were literally watching the first round. Why does he look like this?
50 seconds in.
If he just hits him once when he's gasping for air, like, he's going to knock his ass out. And that just never happened. But, hey, shout out to Mike. I didn't like Magic's tweet. I thought Magic's
I didn't see what Magic said.
Magic was like, oh, I turned it off. It was sad. It was like, Magic, he's 58. Like, bro, we turned you off too when you tried to play power forward. Like, but we gave you the opportunity to go do it.
Right.
We turned you off as a coach and a late night host too, but we gave you the opportunity to do it. Like, let Mike get out there and do this. Like, I'm not happy he's doing it, but, and I don't, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not Jake Paul, whatever. I just didn't want to hurt Mike. No, bro, you look like ass.
You did not look
like if you looked like Floyd did against Connor, then I'd believe you.
Yeah,
you didn't. Like, you look like you didn't take this seriously. You look like you were exhausted 10 minutes before Mike was actually exhausted. So the whole line of I just didn't want to hurt him if I didn't have to. No, bro, you couldn't. Like that's not what you are. Like, right. Stop that. That's the only thing of the whole weekend that I thought was demeaning to Mike. Like, if Mike wants to do it, the whole thing is a joke because of the Texas Athletic Commission. Mm-hmm. That's what made it a joke, was the fact that they sanctioned this and they said, this is a professional boxing match.
Yeah.
Kiss my ass. It is not a professional boxing match. That was a sideshow, which is fine because everybody wanted to see it. It's fine to have a show. But to pass that off as an athletic contest was ridiculous.
And the other aspect of it that I always think about, too, you know, is Mike wanted to do it. Nobody forced Mike to go in there. And he, for whatever reason, wanted to do it. I don't want to say just let him do it, but to a certain degree, yeah, let him do it. If he wants to fight, he's a grown man. He can make his decisions. Mike doesn't have, like, his faculties are there. Right, like, it's not like he's like hurting for money or can't think straight. Like, no, Mike can think. Mike thinks no differently than he does as Mike Tyson, if that makes any sense. Right, like, it's not like he got punched drunk and can't think straight. Like, whatever crazy thought process Mike Tyson has now, he had it at 17.
Right.
So, if he felt like he wanted to go out there and fight, so be it. And he made
his
it
thought through. Process might be a little bit better now than it was at 17.
Oh, that's a fact.
It might be.
That's true.
Strangely enough, might be even after that bizarre interview with the little girl and the very odd ass out interview he did before the fight. I think he said vicious win or vicious knockout or whatever he said. I still think Mike is in a better place than he was at 17, 18,
yes,
20, whatever. Pre-Indianapolis, like, ear biting, like, I think he's in a better place.
I agree.
It reminds me of the clip from the McMahon doc where they're showing, like, it's an old clip from like 2012 or something of Stephanie and they're McMahon and they're asking her about Mike Tyson, and she goes, "Well, that was before he went to jail, right?" And someone off mic goes, "No, it wasn't." And she goes, "Oh, it wasn't?" And then she just looks at the camera and goes, "Oh." Well,
that was almost like an office scene.
Oh, he had already gone to jail for... Oh. Yeah, that was definitely a scene out of The Office. All right, man. I gave you 15 minutes.
Well, don't you want to talk about John Jones?
Who?
John Jones, his fight. He fought over the weekend.
Did he get suspended for a PED use?
Not yet. No.
Okay.
The test will come back in about a week or two.
Okay.
He'll be suspended.
I will never stress this more. I will never care what happens in the UFC.
John Jones
has 4 drug failures, and it is very clear every time those jackasses put on a broadcast what they're doing. Because there's this guy who manages to be at every UFC fight and is escorted out by their owner every single pay-per-view. So you'll have to forgive me if I will never, ever care what happens in that company.
I understand.
Except to my man, Josh Emmett. Salute to Josh. He's a hell of a fighter. But I will never care for the company that he works for. Here's a great segue. Nick Bosa got hurt late. It sure felt like, and this, there could be a little hyperbole to this. I don't think there is. Nick Wagner even had some numbers on it yesterday. The game seemed to have shifted when Nick Bosa left, with, I guess it's an oblique injury.
Yeah.
He was dealing with a hip injury. I don't know if these are the same, if they're different. I don't know what's going on, but the Seahawks offense started to move a little different to the tune of two touchdowns immediately following Nick Bosa's injury. Fred Warner called the result of the game infuriating, which I understand because and we'll get to the big picture thing with the 49ers, and I'd really like to have Kyle in on this discussion here when we get there, but it felt like the defense did their job. It was about 3 minutes and some change left.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth and one.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They did it.
Like fourth and inches.
All you really got to do is, I mean, all you really got to do, because I'm a professional football player and it's easy. Mm. You just, and I think Brock said something along, just stay on the field.
Yeah.
Just kill a little bit of time. Christian McCaffrey, I think 10, 11 yards right out the gate. And then that was it. Mm. That was it. And they were done. The offense was done after that. Mm-hmm. And I know, I thought Geno and the Seahawks were really good in that final two-minute drive or whatever it was, and the defense couldn't do it again.
Mm. Mm. I couldn't. So I just had a feeling that something like this was going to happen. Defense had played well all game long. But when they gave up the one drive to allow the Seahawks to go up 13-10, I was like, oh, man. I don't like the way this game is playing out. Niners come back. They get a touchdown themselves. And when they get the fourth down stop, like you said, just stay on the field. You're in a perfect position to just stay on the field. And when they couldn't, it's much like the Arizona game. You know, when they fumbled the ball at the 10 and Arizona, I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to stop these guys. I don't know if when the chips are down, they'll be able to get the stops that they need to close out a game. And they weren't able to. And this
but they
team,
did. I think that's the
they
thing.
Did.
They did. And I don't, their offense didn't do their job.
They got third and one and then fourth and inches at midfield with less than 4 minutes to go. You did it. You did the thing.
Or you at least, if you didn't do it, you did something.
Yeah, even if the offense goes down and burns 3 minutes and misses a field goal, then, okay, you got less than a minute. Seahawks have got to use all their timeouts at this point. Like, okay. But the offense, they picked up that one first down. They lose a yard. Brock airmails a throw as bad as he did all day to an open Deebo on second and 11. Third and 11, I think they ran it again. And then they're punting. They wasted like 20 seconds.
I don't disagree that the offense should have closed that game out, but the defense didn't do their job. They didn't do their job. They got a stop, which was good, but you had to get another stop.
But it didn't feel okay.
You had
okay.
to get another stop.
I got you.
And right. you didn't. You let Geno Smith score a touchdown.
They gave
on
up
you.
20 points.
I don't think they played bad, but they didn't close the
but
game.
But that makes you think they can't get a stop when it matters.
What if
let me
ask you this. If the 49ers offense holds the ball for 3.5 minutes there and runs out the clock and the 49ers win, would you have said the defense closed the game out? Got the stop they needed to close the game out?
No, I'd say the offense closed the game out.
Hmm.
Because that's what
but
we're
the
asking.
Defense got the
but,
that, key
but
stop.
That's what we're asking the offense to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're asking them to close the game out. So in that situation, the offense would have closed the game out, right? They didn't right. close the game out. So the defense had to go back out there, and they weren't able to take care of business. And I think the defense has actually played a lot better than people give it credit for all year long. That game was almost like a microcosm. But you ask, you know, they haven't been able to close out a game all year. They hadn't been – they. Would you say the defense closed out the game against Tampa Bay? No, they let Nick Bosa let they gave up two fourth downs on that drive. Or no, I'm not two fourth downs, but two almost sacks, and Baker got in there. I guess they did a good job of not allowing a touchdown
sure.
and having a field goal, but they should have been off the field. And it's not even to like talk about them in a bad way, but that's they're just not good enough compared to some of the 49er defenses that we've seen in the past that could put a game
but
away.
They're not good enough to, so when you say they're not good enough to what, put a game away?
Or yeah, to put it on their hands. Like, you can't put it on a defensive hands to say, hey, close this game. Offense is kind of struggling, haven't scored in the red zone, or didn't get this first down or something like that. We need you to put this away and make sure they don't score. They can't do that. They just can't do that this year. And I'm not saying these two teams are even in the same stratosphere, but that's what happens with Kansas City this year. Kansas City's offense has been sus the entire season. But the defense, we didn't score again. Left time on the clock again. We need you to close this thing out. And they close it out almost every time. And once again, defense has been okay. They're just not that team this year. Yeah. They're not that team this year. They don't have these elite.
So do they get no pass is the wrong word. They get no pass for 97 being out?
That's a whole nother discussion.
That's a team building problem that from the jump, you looked at their pass rush in the offseason, in training camp in the preseason, and you went, hey man, Nick Bosa goes out, they're going to struggle to get to the quarterback. So I think the crux of what Kenny's saying, and Kenny, if this is wrong, let me know. It feels like you're saying the 49ers this year aren't as good as they were last year. Yeah. And that's just, or in any of the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. They're just not that team this year.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, special teams.
It's as simple as that. You also, like I said on the handoff, nobody wants to talk about it, but we can't talk about how great these people are and then, like you hate saying all the time, can't just be, oh, next man up, be a championship team.
Right.
Like, they've lost, like, 5 of their top 10 players. Yesterday, I think 4 were out, maybe 4.5 if you count Nick Bosa being out in the second half. But Ayuk was gone. Kittle was gone. Mm-hmm. Ward was gone. Greenlaw was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to matter. It's Christian McCaffrey, who just doesn't – he's not – I give him a grace because this is his training camp and his preseason almost. But he looks – and I'm not saying this. I'm saying this is what he looks like. He looks like a great player that's just completely finished. And I'm not saying that's where he's at. I don't think he's finished. I just think that's virtue of him not having a preseason and he's trying to work his way back. But there's no explosion. There's no wiggle. You know what I mean? Like, he's just not the CMC right now. And this is one of them years where between injuries and not executing the way you're supposed to, there's just too much to overcome.
I think you're wrong. And I'll tell you why I think you're wrong in a couple of minutes. But there are some things that aren't deniable. Like, they lost fourth quarter leads 3 times to division opponents. That stuff is brutal.
Yep.
The good news is this division is shaking out to be very awkward. Like, this is a very weird division where everyone is 5-5, and then you're being led by 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing insurmountable about this. The 49ers can win a couple of games. Now, whether you believe they can,
right. That's
a different story. Sure. And I understand anyone who says, you're 10 games into this, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
There's still with 7 games left.
Mm-hmm.
That's a ton of football left to be played. Now, it could just continue to play out as win-loss. This could wind up to be, right, the busiest guy on Sundays. This could wind up to be, and I hear it because I heard it all last year, this could wind up being the Sacramento Kings of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if they just do this, if they just do that, they'll stop winning and losing and being a 500 team for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a 500 team for 4 months, and that's what they wound up being. This may very well wind up being what the San Francisco 49ers are, but I don't think it is, and we'll talk about that when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy.
or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.